Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
So everlasting life, it's a phrase that we throw around a lot, right? But have we truly paused to think about what it actually means? Because it's not just about living forever, it's living free, free from sin and pain and fear, as well as free from death. Eternal life is not just about quantity, it's quality. And it starts now, not after death. And Christ offers us a new life here that continues forever with Him. The question is not just whether you will live forever, but who you're going to live forever with. And to guide us through the conversation, through this review of The Great Hope and Everlasting Life is actually chapter four, I believe. Yes, it's chapter four. So we're going to be getting into this conversation with our pastor. Pastor Steve Mwene joins us. My pastor, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. The Lord is faithful.
Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor, we're getting into the review of this chapter entitled Everlasting Life. But before we do that, would you please pray for us as we begin?
All right, let us pray. Our gracious and loving Father, we want to thank you this morning for giving us this privilege just to be amongst those that are alive. Wow, there's so much and so many things that are happening in this world. We count it a privilege. As we discuss this important topic, we pray, dear Lord, that may your Holy Spirit be present with us even today. Encourage someone, give hope to someone. Through our discussion is our prayer in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. So let's get into it. We're speaking about everlasting life. And, you know, we seem to have different ideas of what that actually means. What's the difference between everlasting life and just simply not dying?
All right. That's a very good question. Everlasting life and simply not just dying. The difference isn't the word or the term itself. When we look at the subject of everlasting life, it's a source of hope for every believer. In fact, where things end and where there is dying itself, everlasting life gives us a hope that after death or after the process of dying, there is a period when you know the living now will live then. And so what is the main difference between everlasting life and simply not dying? Everlasting life is a life that is coming as a gift from a source of life, the source and the nature of life itself. As you read books like 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 12, you discover Christ as the Son, introducing this divine gift. So simply not dying may not suffice to the fact that we have this privilege. But everlasting life is coming as a gift. You will find it interesting to know that everlasting life is not it's not innate to human beings,
right,
but it is bestowed after the resurrection. Only God at this point inherently, who is immortal and is eternal, will at the end of this life that we have, give to humanity this gift. Not dying, on the other hand, implies biological immortality without transformation. So you see the difference that with everlasting life, there is a component of transformation. We will be changed. This body will be changed, but not dying is simply a biological aspect. And so we see that there is a perpetual continuation of current human existence with its flaws in not dying. Mm-hmm. But in everlasting life, there is a cessation to the flaws of human existence, such as suffering and separation from God. So in other words, I can say maybe to sum it up on that question, mm-hmm. it's a state of existence. Mm-hmm. Everlasting life involves the resurrected, the glorified body, the sanctified body. On the other hand, not dying assumes the level of consciousness where you are able to respond to the environment around you, but in itself does not give eternal hope.
Right, right. And what does Jesus mean when he says eternal life starts now? That's in John 17, verse 3. What does that actually mean?
As we read John chapter 17, verse 3, it's a very good question again. I must testify. John 17, verse 3, if we can read it, the Bible tells us that this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true and living God, mm-hmm. Whom is Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. When you read that, what does it mean to answer the question? Allow me to quote from one of my favorite writers, A Christ Objects Lesson. She says, you know, in 1:14, she says, the experimental knowledge of God and of Christ whom he has sent transforms man into the image of God. It gives to man the mastery of himself, bringing every impulse and passion of the lower nature under the control of the higher powers of the mind. It makes the person over a son of God and the heir of heaven. It brings him into the communion with the human mind, the infinite, and opens to him the rich treasures of heaven. So to answer the question, what does it mean? What does Jesus mean when he says life eternal starts now? It means to us that the moment we receive Jesus, while we are here in our human flesh, we've received this eternal gift. We've received this valuable gift through Christ. We begin to live a life of transformation, a journey to everlasting life. And so when we receive Christ, according to John chapter 17, here we find that Jesus is praying for his disciples. And his prayer is that they live beyond the hour of trial, the hour of persecution. And when we begin to live the life with Jesus, we begin to have eternal life. And so beginning this life is starting it with Jesus himself.
Powerful, beautiful. I love that. And how should the promise of eternal life change the way that we live today? How does the knowledge of eternal life affect the way that the decisions that I make in my day-to-day life?
Very important question. How does the promise of eternal life change our lives today? Number one, allow me to speak to the reality of life. Everyone here, including yourself and mine and our listeners out there, everyone is going through something. We are going through problems. And when you look at the facets of this world, when you look at what this world is able to offer, yes, you may be rich, you have the money, but the truth is even the rich people are lacking something that they, you know, so dearly need right now. Life in itself does not give hope. And so when we realize that all the storms and all the challenges, the mourning and the pain and the sorrow of this world, whatever life can throw at you, when you begin to look at life with a perspective of eternal life, you will realize that, you know, that in itself changes your perception about life. You will begin to live in life, handle life with hope. You begin to live life as someone who knows that everything will end. To just get straight to the point, how should the promise of eternal life change the way we live? When we know that this is not the end, when we know that our situation here on earth is not permanent, God is going to change everything. As he says in Revelation, he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more death, neither sorrow or crying. Why? For the former things would have passed away. With that perception and, you know, knowledge with us, we will begin to live a life to prepare ourselves. One writer says, live as if, you know, plan as if Jesus will come 10,000 years from today, but live as if Jesus will come tomorrow. How? Because when we know that, we'll begin to be very sensitive in the choices we make. Every decision you make will not be based on the temporal now and then enjoyment, but it will be tailored to prepare us for the future glory. In other words, when we know that we have the promise of eternal life, let us now tailor our lives, our decision, every decision we make, let it be a decision that aligns us with the preparation of eternal life with a King forever.
Amen. Amen. Some people believe that in preparing for eternal life or being, you know, having our minds focused on eternal life and on eternity makes us useless in this earthly temporary realm. Like, we are so focused on heaven that we become useless on this earth. We're not helping our communities and our societies. What would you say to people who believe that, and also to people who maybe are living their lives that way, who are not interested in this world whatsoever because their focus is completely on, we're going home. I don't need my matric certificate or university degree in heaven. So what's the point? What would you say to that?
I love that you added the second question. I think that perception, that belief, that notion has been created by a sect or some of us in the faith. We are so heaven-minded that we've become socially and relationship irrelevant here on earth. You begin to live. We have begun to live a life where it's like, you know, your relationship with your neighbor next door doesn't matter. All you're focused about is the promised land. No. Yeah. Even when it comes to the real Christianity and the real belief and those that believe that Jesus is coming, Jesus himself in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, bear one another's burdens. So while you are focused on the promised land, while your decisions are focused on the promised land, don't be socially irrelevant. Don't be irrelevant to the sufferings of people here today. Read Matthew chapter 26. It will tell you, we will not yes enter heaven because of our degrees. We will not enter heaven because of our positions in life. But how did we impact the communities where we are? In other words, before we go to heaven, Christ expects us to be to live and create a small heaven here on earth. So yes, we are going to heaven. We'll be in the promised land. But before you live in the promises of the promised land, we must first face the wilderness in between ourselves and the promised land. What am I saying? All I'm saying is, if you must get a degree, get that degree. But as you get that degree, that diploma, that PhD, get it with God. Do it with God. Yes, get married. Live life. Be happy. But as you live life and you are happy and you are as you are married, please take God with you. Yes, you must socialize, enjoy life. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, enjoy your youth. You enjoy yourself, enjoy life while you're still a youth. But you must remember that while you enjoy life, there is a judgment that is coming. So don't be irrelevant here on earth. So heavenly minded, and you become insensitive to the suffering of others. In other words, be kind to people, help people. When you are able to buy ice cream, I've told people, if you are able to buy ice cream, please, you are not Superman or, you know, Batman to solve all the problems of this world.
Yeah.
If you are able to go and get ice cream with your family, go and get ice cream. Don't be too married to the church and yet less married to your wife at home. Let your wife enjoy the marriage. Let your children enjoy you at home. Before you were a pastor, before you were an evangelist, before you were baptized, you had a family. Even God himself, when he was creating us, he created us social beings. In Genesis, he says, man cannot live alone. So let us be, you know, mindful to the things that are around us, so that when we have enjoyed these things, in fact, even in heaven, my sister, we will not be islands. We will live in families. We will enjoy ourselves. So before you enjoy yourself there, enjoy yourself here. Someone yesterday was telling me, let me enjoy myself in case I miss heaven. Can you imagine after you have been so sad here on earth, and then at the end of the day when dying, you die with an insult in your mouth, you fail to reach heaven. You would have lost two things. So brothers and sisters, while we are Adventists and we are believers, we are not called to be sadists. People who are always sad, they are always, you know, depressed. Live life, be happy. The best is yet to come.
Amen. Amen. Any final thoughts on today's section? We'll be continuing this on Thursday, but for today's section, key points.
Key points. I think the best we can do, when as we discuss this issue of the great hope and, you know, the everlasting life, we must understand that it is, number one, it is a free gift. It is a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He who first loved us gave us a gift. And a gift, if you have a husband or a fiancé, when they buy you a gift, it's up to you to accept it or not. God is not forcing anyone, but he says whosoever, in other words, he is all inclusive, regardless of faith, race, creed, title. He wants all of us to be saved. Number two, this free gift has already been offered. And before Christ left, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. In other words, a place is already waiting for us. The thing is that while the place is waiting for us and the crown is already there, are we ready to go and inherit that seat, or it is going to be cold and empty forever? Lastly, but not the least, please, as we said earlier on, enjoy life. Be happy. Do whatever it is that will make you happy in this world. So long as you do it, be mindful that there is a God who in heaven who is looking up to you to be a citizen, an ambassador, to take the gospel to the world.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for your time. And well, let's connect again on Thursday. God bless you.
God bless you and God bless the, our listeners.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.